Blog Talk Radio.
Hebrew and Bible Academy, you are invited. The promised seed this coming Sunday. The Israelites out of Egypt, the promised seed. We're going to be breaking it all the way down. I'm going to show you how the Christian theologian liars misuse the book of Galatia. They misuse Paul's writing to tell you that through Christ, the promises are equally distributed to all races of people. Straight lie. And I'm going to be breaking that down. Okay. And again, one cannot be a chosen people through religion. Utterly ridiculous. You cannot become a race, an historical ancient race of people by converting to a religion. That's ridiculous. Let me make that clear. I know many black people erroneously choosing to become Buddhist. That doesn't make them Chinese. So by the same token, you can't have a person in Judaism and because they practice Judaism to say that they are the people within the Bible. It doesn't make any sense. No, you are under a religion, or you can be Jews through conversion. But to be of the one of the promised seed according to the Bible, one must be from the bloodline of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And guess what? This coming Sunday, I'm going to prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that the blacks who ran into Africa and were sold into slave ships, that's right, are from the lost tribes of Israel, Judah. I'm going to prove it. We're the promised people in exile. The same as the Dominicans. They're from the lost sheep of Israel. So are the Haitians, the Jamaicans, okay, the Colombians, and those that are suffering oppression in different parts of the Asian islands, in different areas there. Those are the Israelites, like the Filipinos, the Cambodians, those from from Burmese. And folks, a lot of what I'm saying is chronologized within the Jewish Encyclopedia. Even in the Jewish Encyclopedia, it actually chronologizes the dates where the 10 tribes went into those different areas in Asia. You can find it in the Jewish Encyclopedia, some of it. But I got secular history that I'm going to prove also that I have, that they don't know I have, that I'm going to be teaching this coming Sunday. All right, 336 area code, a preacher's daughter has a question.
Today? Shalom, can you hear me?
Shalom, you're the preacher's daughter.
Yes, I've called in several times. I spoke with you. I never received a phone call from the church in North Carolina. I'm the one that had that worked for the food bank, and I wanted to donate some stuff. I never got a phone call from them, but I want to, see if I could get that done as soon as possible because we don't know what to expect with this January 4th mandate, and my decision has already been made on that, so...
I know you're picking up the phone call from where you left off with me, but we're in a live broadcast where others might not know what you're talking about. So let's talk about the January 4th mandate. What do you mean by that? What is that?
That's where they're going to, this administration, they are planning to make it mandatory. They have a new OSHA executive that's making it mandatory and by for you to get the solution. And so we don't know exactly how that's going to pan out in the state that I live in, because this past election season, we went from a red state to all that politics stuff. But anyway, nationally.
Okay. Hold up. Before you jump somewhere else, let's stay there. Okay? Now,
okay.
I don't know whether or not you're in, are you in this Hebrew and Bible Academy, yes or no?
No.
Okay. Are you a part of the Patreon we do on Fridays?
Yes.
Okay. I explain on the Patreon in no uncertain terms, along with Shapat breaking things down in the academy, that whether it's mandates or not, there are certain protections that they're not talking about with religious exemptions. And you can submit,
yes,
and this is what you can do under a religion. You say you're a preacher's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When it doesn't matter, federal or whatever, you can always submit a religious exemption. And it doesn't matter if it's for the doses of the stuff they're talking about or the test. Now, if
yes,
a job...
I actually did that a few weeks ago for my daughter.
Listen to what I'm saying, though. If an employer violates your religious rights, now you have legal rights. Okay? Because why? It doesn't matter. A lot of what they're doing is saber rattling to force people into doing something that they think they're forced to do. Some people are going to respond by doing exactly how they know people. Okay, yeah. Some people, that's Owl. I made sure I text her number. Okay, Owl has your number now. So what I'm saying, sister, is no sense in rushing and panicking based on them putting something out there. What you do privately is your religious exemption. And if they do something against that, now there's recourse, legal recourse. Okay? So
yes,
a lot of what they're saying, they're going to do, they might not, it's not legal for them to do. Some of them. So I'm just putting that out there. But go on. What's the next point?
Yes, sir. But, North Carolina, they can fire you for no cause. So even if that was the case, they could still find another reason to still prove their point. But I'm not worried neither here or there. I'm not worried because my faith lies with the Most High, and I know he's taking care of me thus far, and he's going to take care of me again. To go back to the point that you had made earlier tonight, about the, I'm not good with celebrities, but the young man who made that point.
Aaron Rodgers.
In September, yes, sir. In September, my mom earlier this year had the solution twice and wanted, was trying to get me absolutely no. But anyway, she wound up catching the pneumonia part of it. Was in the hospital for over a week. I wound up having the same thing, but because I take herbs and my vitamins, I was just like that man that you spoke of tonight. I had no symptoms. I was good.
Okay.
Couldn't really be still, was ready to get out and everything else. I was really, really good. And all praises be to the Most High. I understand what's going on in the world. Thanks to your Bible studies.
Okay.
But, yeah, I was fine, absolutely fine. Unfortunately, to this day, my mom still has problems breathing. I mean, she literally gets in the car, and she's panting. But you can't get people to go against their will. And for so long, we have been programmed to – basically follow a system and to go against that system, because money is the root of all evil. People are willing to comply to the prince of this air just so they can live the life that they want to and be accepted into society. They're scared to stand alone. They're scared to be who the Most High have created them to be, because that means that you're different. So that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you for that, sister, and bless you. And I gave Al the call, your phone number. He just said, he's going to call you tomorrow, okay? I just texted.
Perfect. Thanks. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, you say your father is a preacher, okay? And I was speaking about Martin Luther King, how at one point all preachers were on one side, knowing the evils of corporate conspiracies, I would say it, against our people, primarily black people in America. We understood the corporate structure was looking to oppress our people. So your father was a preacher who grew up probably near those times, the civil rights movement or whatever the case might be. What is his stance on what's going on in the earth right now? Is he standing with God, or do we believe the corporations? Speaking of your father.
Well, he's a different type of pastor. He preaches fire and brimstone. He does that. He's not popular. He does have a congregation, but he's not popular around the city and stuff because of what he does preach. What I've learned, he has the Apocrypha in his office at the church. And just a few weeks ago, I was able to tell him, I said, well, he's doing a series on the Holy Spirit. I said, well, look at the Holy Spirit. I said, they have changed that. And I said, if you look at Hercules, I said, Satan always tried to do a bootleg copy of what was already perfect made by the Most High. I said, if you look at Disney's Hercules, you have Zeus, who's supposed to be the god, and then you have the mother, and then you have Hercules, who's supposed to be the son. And I said, they just really flipped that around for the Greek mythology, but that's really how it looks, the royal family, in terms of our father. And
I'm with you,
a lot
sister,
of times,
sister. I'm with you, sister, but what did I ask you? Just curious.
You asked about the corporations. He's one of those South Carolina, raised off the boat type of mentality. And it's a yes, so master. It's a yes, so master. That's
so
how he was
what
raised.
I'm asking you, I understand, but I'm asking you, do he believe in what the Most High says concerning what's going on now, or does he believe the corporations with this campaign? In a nutshell. Which one?
I would say corporation.
Well, hey, the Bible says there'll be two in a field and he'll take one. Two in a house, and you might be that one. Thank you, sister.
Okay. Praises to the Most High. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. I don't know, because sometimes there's a delay, and sometimes maybe if people can't clearly hear me, they'll just whatever, you know, I can understand that. 414 area code. Or people get there 2 minutes. They want to say what they want to say. I understand that too. All right, Nicole, talk to us.
Yeah, the Civil Rights 1964 Act, I believe, was a double-edged sword. So to blacks, it had good connotation, but to the people who created it, it has another purpose. So, for example, affirmative action. Well, that just drew our people from being self-sufficient and owning their own businesses to going to willingly work for the plantation again and the corporations. And then as far as the integration piece, well, it wasn't the other groups whose neighborhoods got integrated, it was ours. So they can literally come in, you know, sell to us, take our dollars, and go back out to where they are. My father, he came up in Mississippi, and he came up around the time of the integration. And what happened as a result of that, the black schools closed down, and all of those black teachers and principals lost their jobs, and the black students were bused out to the white schools. So really, if you really think about it, it was all bad. And then as far as the housing discrimination part of it, and making it illegal to redline, well, that had a double benefit for the bankers because now these houses had to be sold from the middle class whites to the blacks, and then they would charge double the, you know, what it, the house was worth, make money off of that with exorbitant interest rates, plus make money off of the construction loans that the white people had to get to build new houses out in the suburb, the newly created suburbs. So
okay.
Really, this was just a big money heist off of black people. So the Civil Rights Act, the wool just got pulled over our people's eyes, to be quite frank.
And, you know, and I'm glad you're making that point, sister. Why? Because usually when they are pushing something that they claim benefits our people, it's one of their people in control over it. See, and this is why I was talking earlier about this. They didn't move the proverbial civil rights movement to social justice for all, which is utterly ridiculous. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, it's white liberals and others using the title of minority to go in and gain the contracts over the social constructs of our neighborhood. This is what's upholding a lot of these suburbians. They got an abuse shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. An abuse shelter. They may have multicultural centers and whatever. All of this in our society, they go right back to where they live at because they are really... All of the contracts are being divvied out to these so-called minorities, these people of color. A Chinese person can come into America, get status, and then get a loan for a minority business to open up a nail shop in our community. And what our brothers and sisters don't know is that they were able to get that money through minority contracts that came from our people dying so that the civil rights laws could get drafted. So that's why I'm not down with this women of color, people of color. We need to kill all that. Those are the things that Martin Luther King was afraid of and said straight out at the end of how they seen how the politicians were using his speech. He realized that at the end of the day, our people would be at the back of the line for all of the finances that came through civil rights. He realized that. I mean, and now there's another minority group. A gay person, gay people are minorities now. So they can go and, because they're college educated, they can find the contracts that belongs to our people. And because we don't know how to get that money and file for those contracts and how to brief a plan to get them, you get a gay educated person, be a white man. He's a minority now. He don't have to get money. He don't have to go and try to get a loan on his credit or whatever the case is. He can now use the I'm a white gay guy and strip our people of money that belongs to our children to set up businesses. A lot of brothers and sisters don't understand the political side of things and how this civil rights thing is being used. This black or brown, this people of color, all inclusive. It's to steal our people's money.
Right.
Only thing they have to do is come up with a group that's considered minority. But here's the problem. Here's the catch-22, and then I'm going to give you the last word. The catch-22 is that they don't have the constituency, the large enough numbers, as a group on their own to have access to these controlling contracts. So they must stimulate the base by convincing black people that they're a part of our team, that they're on our team, when really it's to use our constituency so that they can be the taskmasters over the social programs in our community. Poverty is a cash cow for the white liberals that come into our community communities and set up programs and businesses. So it's time that we say, listen, it's not about the gay thing. Just like there's other sin that's going on in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, according to the Bible, that's a moral sin. But at the end of the day, regardless of the sin you're struggling with, you are suffering not because you're gay. You are more so suffering because you're living the curses of the children of Israel.
Right.
That's why you're suffering. You're suffering because you're black. So we got to stop this, or we have to stop this thing where now our people are now taking on gay political talking points. No.
Mm-hmm.
Gay black people were being what? Hung in the South by white masses. It didn't matter what your gender was. So it's time for us to come back on code under the Bible with moral laws, come back to the Most High, and stop letting these people come in to deceive, straight deception coming in our communities, claiming there for us. When really, they're looking and not only looking, they've actually done it. They're replacing us.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead. You have the last word, then I'll open up the lines.
And okay.
Elders, anytime y'all want to come in on that, you can do so.
The same thing with the Voting Rights Act, you know, that's part of that civil rights bill. They
okay.
only allowed us to vote, you know, in order so that the liberals can, you know, get seats more often than not. And then
yeah.
we're just the host for, and everybody else are like parasites just plucking off of us. And I'm going to end it on this note. This is extremely important. When I was in 11th grade, I was in a physics class. It was the regular physics class, but I ended up switching to the AP class. But before I switched to the AP class, this weird teacher, he was explaining the nucleus to us in a parable. And most of the kids in their class were black. And they didn't get the parable, but I did. And he said that black people, just to translate the parable, basically black people are the nucleus, which is the hood in the
yeah.
center, and that the whites were the electrons on the outskirts, which represents the suburbs. And he said that because normally a nucleus is balanced when there is the same number of neutrons in the center as there are electrons on the outside. But he said
okay.
if that ever gets imbalanced, then it's called an ion. And he
okay,
said
yeah.
that the neutrons would party at, I'm almost finished. He said the neutrons would be at a party at Club Ion, and the alarm will go off and say, ion, ion, which would alert the electrons on the outskirts, at which point they will come in for the siege. So what he was saying is that once our population got above a certain amount, that they will come in. So that's
hey.
Where I wanted to end it.
Hey, that's right on point. Thank you, sister. You always bring some good talking points. I'm going to place you on hold. We'll get the next call in one moment. And
okay.
I'm just curious. I'm going to ask this question. I'm just curious. It isn't a part of what I was originally going to talk about, but hold on. Let me grab this. One second. One second, folks. Yeah, here it is. All right. Okay, this is what I wanted to show real quick before I go to the next call. Brother James, who's over a lot of what we do here at the Gathering of Christ Church as far as the orders and things of that nature. Hold on. Oh, Bob. Okay, there it is. All right. In your chat real quick, brothers and sisters, in your chat. Let me show you one second. In your chat. As you can see, Brother James said that the Laplocks bags have come in. I got a message. The Laplock bags have come in. Where, that's right, you can put your computer in the bag along with your phone. And yes, it'll cut off all signal. Untraceable bags. Matter of fact, let's see. Here they go right here. So if you want to block the signal, that's right, he just told me they came in. So here are the, there they go. You put your computer in here, throw your phone in here with your computer, and boom, you disappear. Right there. We have them in a nice brown and a nice black. Right? You put them up in there.
I got to give you some of that.
Oh, James have them. James have them. You know I got you.
Those are nice. I'm paying for those. I want to support. Those are nice.
Thank you, sir. So here's the website to get those. Of course, the Philadelphia congregation, y'all be able to get it here in Philly. But we have them here. They're being shipped out almost immediately. And here's the link. Very stylish. You put your computer and drop your phone in here, and guess what? It disconnects all Wi-Fi. It makes you untraceable. All right? Now, we have these, and we also have... Yeah, I know it. And we also have, someone says, one second. Oh, yeah, I know they're real leather. They're real leather, too. Someone say, make sure you tell them it's real leather. Real leather. We don't deal with pleather over here. All right? Real leather. And this is where you get it from. Just hit that link. And you'll be able to order your bags and your cell phone bags. Now, if you don't want the big bag, you can get something small for the cell phone, nice and stylish, and you can put it on your belt. It got a belt loop, very stylish. The cell phone bags are just like this, but smaller, okay? You can get those, all right? All right. Oh, yeah, you know back in Philadelphia, North Philly, Elder Lawyer, you get somebody selling poochie bags. That G is really a P. You got to look at it real good. We're not dealing with no pleather over here, okay? So I want to make sure, after years of trying to make things ourselves, I'm like, you know what? We have to do it high grade and make sure that when we give our people something, it's not only on a level of the other nations. It has to be A1. So this is what we did.
Hey, people are asking, where can people find the link? Are you going to put the link below?
I put the link. I already put it inside the chat about three times. Let me put it in there again. It's right there on the chat. And also, we're going to have a place where you can link to the bags directly from thegatheringofchrist.org or wherever you find it, you can get the bags. Because, you know, sometimes you want to be off the grid, right? You put your stuff in the bag, I'm out of here. Untraceable, right? So you can get it black. And you know I'm going to have this. My computer's going to be in here, and I'm going to throw my phones and stuff here, right? So that's how we're going to do that. So, and, you know, it goes toward us. Whatever proceeds come in, we go put it into something else that can help us long term. All right? All right. Now, next. Thank you. Okay, well, you can get yours. Don't worry about it. I got you. All right. Let me get now. Next call. Let me ask a question. The next couple of calls, if you can answer the question in particular. Not that we're Democrat or Republican because we voted for Christ and that's it on that. Can someone state for us politically what politically in our communities where we vote primarily Democrat, right, Elder Lawyer? We are, our people are primarily Democrat. Can someone please tell us what have the Democrats done for our people? Anything. What have they done for us? To a degree to actually win our what? Our long-term folks support for the party. What have they done for us outside of not being Republican? And I need someone to answer that question. Yeah,
I would have been correct after the elder lawyer, if you don't mind.
Say that.
I would like to take a crack on that, if you don't mind, after the lawyer response.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, you know, I remember back in the days, I used to work for a privatized correctional company.
Put your video in, Elder Gabbar.
Okay, let me see. I'm back on. Can you guys see me?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay. Okay, so, you know, back in the days in the 90s, I used to work for a privatized correctional company, and we were funded by the Black Caucus. Black Caucus is basically the African American elected official caucus of Democrats.
Okay.
And the program that we used to run, it was a halfway house, right? And I was working for the senior vice president of the company. I was his assistant and dealing with his community affairs. So we went to Albany a lot, right? So our base was the Democratic Party, and those are the people that were funding us every year, right? You have to be, since we were a privatized company, and we dealt mostly with, African-American, Latino minorities, we have federal inmates and state inmates. The majority of the state inmates were drug offenses type of crime. And the ideology of the organization was that if you take non-violent criminals and you do some form of programming, the residency rate of going back to jail will lessen, right? So I remember I was shocked when I found out that it was the Republican Party that Lincoln was involved. I always thought he was Democrat. All this time, I always thought he was Democrat. So, but I remember back then looking at the Republican as the evil empire. It was mostly white. Most of the Black Republicans, I viewed him as sellout. I used to say he probably had a white wife, you know, or what have you. I have a perspective of the Republicans were, you know, George Bush, the neocons. We're the good guys, the Democrats, right? And they were always fighting for, like, housing, affordable housing. You hear that a lot. And, you know, crime, reform and things of that nature. And I got to say, they were some good Democrats. People that try to do the right thing. Shout out to Roger Green. He was a senator in Brooklyn. He was always big on, you know, reform and jail reform. And part of him funding our organization because he wanted to expand the jail reform, and he felt that drug was more less a crime, more an addiction, and it should be treated like an addiction, not like criminals. So then you have good guys in the Democratic Party, but the Democratic Party today, it's almost undescribable to me, growing up in the 90s, you know, and it's almost, and if you would have told me in the 90s that the Republican would have been people that would have been defending parents' rights against, you know, mandates. I would think you've been crazy.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem with that.
Yes, sir.
When you go into the suburbs, where's the social program for halfway houses and prison reform to make sure no one goes back to prison? The whole thing is the only money that they can throw at us is for the social ills that this society created for us.
Exactly.
So notice where they put the money. They don't put the money so there's no more prisoners, so there's no more people suffering and need housing.
Yeah.
When they don't put the money to stop abuse altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So the impoverished ways of our communities is their business.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
And I know that then. But I know that now. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So when I ask, what have they done for us? No, we don't need affordable housing. We need it so our children can have the same understanding of the world that your children does, so that they can get their own housing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what we need. So all this affordable housing, underprivileged, like our whole community are the kids on a little bus or something.
Mm-hmm.
And really what's going on is that it's their people in charge of these contracts, these civil rights, equality contracts, where they're getting millions and millions of dollars to set up some bogus program to help a few people in the community.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. So in particular, and if you've been helped, I need brothers and sisters to tell us, real quick, what have they actually done for our people as a whole? Speak of the Democrat Party. 757 area code. And thank you. Great point, Elder Clark.
Yes, sir.
Shalom.
757. Christian, you're live. Talk to us. Shalom. 2 minutes. The floor is yours.
Shalom, man. So to kind of answer your question, honestly, I don't see the Democrat Party benefiting or benefits the black or brown community for a long time. To be honest, I always believed that as far as going into the political aspect, that the Republican kind of lean a little bit more on the circumstances than Democrat.
Yeah, but what I'm asking is, in particular, so that we can keep the ball where it needs to be, what have they done? Not what the Republicans have done or haven't. What have they done for our communities?
What have
the Democrat Party, don't forget, they have our loyal, we've been loyal to that party since we've been able to vote. You would think that some of that would be reciprocated. You would think that they would understand, okay, these people have been loyal since they got the right to vote to this particular party. I can at least say we've done this for these people in particular. Something that we can hang our hat on and say, you know what? Outside of all the other people, the Democrat Party have done this for blacks. What is it?
I would say they open up more so for sin to kind of be accepted.
I didn't ask you the negatives. You don't vote for someone for the sins they will allow you to do. Like, for instance, here's an example. The Asians can say, well, I'm down with the Democrat Party because they passed a bill for Asian hate, and we got this amount of billions of dollars into our community to make sure Asian hate doesn't happen within the United States. Okay? They got that money from the Democrat Party. All right? The Democrats passed that law. Okay? The Afghans, these people who we were supposed to be at war with years ago, who they told us at one point were the enemy, all of a sudden, they come over to America as refugees, and some people pass a law. Whether or not they're going to get it doesn't matter. They'll use that campaign so that they can now have their top guys distribute this money as they will. I'm speaking of the controllers. But they passed a bill that would give Afghan immigrants, $450,000 or something?
Yeah.
So that's a direct thing Afghanis who did nothing to build this country can say the Democrat Party did for them. So what I'm asking you, and the fact that we have to actually try to figure out something, it's self-telling, right?
I really don't think I can kind of answer that without any hiccups, honestly.
What? Okay, you had a point. What is your question real quick, Anton? I mean, Christian. You had a comment?
Yes. I wanted to kind of comment on the previous statement from earlier that I solely...
Excuse me? You there? Okay, he must have went out. Okay, Anton has a question. Anton. Elder Gavar, I'm kind of shocked. This knocked me back a little. Gavar,
yeah.
sent me a post from the New York Post. Brothel offers free SEX sessions to patrons who get the jab on site.
New York Post. Yesterday, it's got posted.
Oh, man, this thing is getting weird. So obviously there's nothing for free, so they get money from somewhere. But anyway. All right, Anton, 773 area code.
Shalom, Elder. It's Brother Antoine from the Chicago body. How are you?
Hey, Anton. Yeah, I'm doing well. You have a question?
Actually, it was a comment based on what the question that you just asked, and
okay.
I'm gonna try to really really go through it real fast, and then I'm gonna answer the question that you had asked. So, from Chicago, I'm from a city where, and this information was just actually sent to me by a colleague, but the Chicago mayor, the superintendent of police, the Cook County State's Attorney, Chief Judge of Cook County Circuit Courts, Illinois Attorney General, Chicago Fire Department Commissioner, Cook County Board President, State Senate Majority Leader, Illinois Lieutenant Governor, Illinois Secretary of State, Clerk of the Circuit Court of Cook County Clerk, Chicago Treasurer, Chicago Police Board President, Chicago Transit Authority, and the CEO of Chicago Public Schools, as well as the Commissioner of the Department of Water Management are all Black. African or African American,
okay.
as well as all Democrat. Okay, now 33%
okay.
of the population is Black, and 40% of
okay.
city council belongs to our very own Black caucus, because we also have a Black caucus here.
Okay.
Now, so for 89 years, the Democrats have been in control of Chicago. At the end of the fiscal 2019. The Chicago deficit was $838 million. Now, the last part of that I wanted to mention was from January through July 2020 in Chicago were 2,240 shootings, 440 homicides. Almost every shooter was Black. 33% of the population gave Chicago 97.7% shootings and murders. And 67% of the population were whites, Latinos, Asians, Native Americans, gave Chicago 2.3% of shootings and murders.
Mm.
you have a 100 times higher chance to be shot on the streets of Chicago by a black person than by any other race of demographic group. Now, The answer to your question, I can say firsthand by being a Chicagoan in a city that's or a state that's predominantly Democrat, the Democrats have done nothing. And even the furthermore push the issue is that the Democrats that are in control, majority of them, are black. So it's just ridiculous how you have other states that can actually say, oh, well, you know, well, if we can get in office, if we can put Democrats in office or our people in office, then we can develop change. But there has been no change. You know, I'm from a city where there's a West Side community hasn't been the same since Martin Luther King was killed. And if you ever been on the West Side of Chicago, it's just a totally different world, totally different world. And it's pretty much the police district is the over in that community is the busiest. But just by looking at the streets and the way they look, it doesn't even seem that way. So. But the answer to your question, Elder, they've done nothing. They've done nothing.
Okay, so let's make it clear, brother. I'm glad you're highlighting this. You just ran off almost every high position within the political structure of Chicago controlled by blacks. So it's more so the symbolism as if we are running things in Chicago. But at the end of the day, high crime, everything is regentrification going on. We're being really ethnic cleansed out of that city, right? So someone would have expected black people in charge who understand grassroots, the issues within the communities that in these political positions, that there would have been a change already from the Democrat Party with blacks primarily in positions to actually help change things there. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what are they doing in those positions then? What are they doing?
My personal belief, Elder, is that they're just becoming part of the status quo. I think if they go against the grain, they'll lose their position.
Well, I got something better for you, brother. To add to that, because there's probably a few. But what if it's this, brother? Listen clearly. What if they were handpicked to make us believe we have power?
And you know, there's a truth to that, Elder, because I believe a few of them have been.
Yeah, think about it, brother. Don't forget who's that guy? Lyndon Baines Johnson. They all said they had a plan to say, listen, after this, let me tell you, Martin Luther King and that civil rights movement, that nonviolent movement was a glitch in the matrix. That was unforeseen. There was nothing in the earth that could have prepared America for what Martin Luther King planned. It stopped everything. So they said, listen, we have to make sure every leader going forward over these people are given to them. It was between him and the others there. What's his name? The cross-dressing guy for the FBI.
Lyndon. Hoover.
Yeah, they all came together and said, well, listen, man, we no more glitches. Okay, if there's going to be some black leaders, we're going to give it to them. And it's going to be according to the agendas, the progressive agendas we're pushing. So if we're moving towards immorality, we have to pick gay people who look black, who are educated. So really what they did through these colleges, that was their grooming ground to pick the leaders to make us believe we were progressing. When really... these people were put in position to keep us in order, to keep us as a whole from progressing. Okay, so I'm glad you're highlighting that. So the whole thing is this. No longer will we associate ourselves with these political talking points that will include others with us. Okay? Now, what we can do is say we can all come into this gospel, be baptized, and follow the law, statutes, and commandments.
Absolutely.
But you're not going to come here and tell me that the people who need political protection from hate are Asian people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a slap in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to accept. Now, I believe that all people are afforded protection under the laws, including Asian people.
Mm-hmm.
If they pay their taxes, their taxes are paid for judges and police and everything else that protect other citizens. But that's a slap in the face after running, brother, on George Floyd being killed by the hands of police, to right after getting the guy in that we voted for, our people ignorantly voted for, to only pass a law for Asian hate. That doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And all of our people that have voted this man in just went up back on, ran for cover. It's like we put ourselves in a position where we collectively come together, like you said, for racism, as well as to vote whoever we want in. But after that, it's like, okay, I did my due diligence, back to normal. But you're not really researching who you're actually voting for.
Yeah, it's straight Asian hate. They put up Asian hate and give all this money to them. You know what they're doing? They're thumbing our people right in the eye and saying, yeah, this is what it was the whole time. Now what you going to do? Okay? We'll let you run on black hate. And we'll stoke the fire, the orange man or Trump as the bad guy. Okay, we'll run on that. Trump is the bad guy. At the end of the day, guess what? All the sentiments will go behind protecting Asian people, even though we ran on George Floyd. So I wanted to put that out there over and over, brothers and sisters. We have a moral responsibility, like Martin Luther King said, to disobey unjust laws. Okay, speaking of laws, we need to follow the laws in that Bible, above all. I wanted to pull that out there because it's deep. Antoine, thank you. I'm glad you pointed those things out. It's deep that it took Aaron Rodgers to quote Martin Luther King in a time such as this. When our people who are between the crosshairs being targeted in these communities with this stuff, and don't tell me we're not being targeted. Every commercial where they're pushing this is showing black people. But none of us are seeing that this is a political run. And with this political run they're using, they can now take finances from us, kick us off the jobs, have it where we cannot sustain our own families because we're the face of it. But yet it's white Aaron Rodgers who can quote Martin Luther King and be right about it. And our people will do nothing. Why? You know why? Because we aren't like we were in the 60s. It was like, listen, I know we all going to have to suffer together. We'll pull together. But guess what? We're not riding their bus and we're not going to work. We're marching. Shut the whole country down. One state at a time, one city at a time, they were doing that. I know those people like, man, what about my car? What about this? Be like, listen, don't worry about it. We got a soup line at all the churches. All the churches were coordinated together before mega churches. And this is where we got through the hard times. We had bread. My mother and father told me about that. They had soup and all that, where once a week you go get you a little pouch of food for the week. You ration it out. But guess what? You didn't cross the line. You didn't get on the bus and you didn't go to work. You sat there and you picketed and you marched until they acquiesced. But we had a base to fall back on. The churches were united to a degree where, listen, I know the rent ain't getting paid. I know the food, but we'll do what we can. We'll, you know, we'll bring in our resources together and feed our children and teach our children until what? The structure breaks. It's not like that now. Deidre has a comment. I see you too, Sunshine. I'm going to bring you in. Hey, Deidre.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom.
I'm going to answer the question that you asked. What has the Democratic Party done for us to give them the unwavering support?
So loyal. Yeah.
Yeah. So the answer is absolutely, positively nothing. Absolutely, positively nothing. For example, the Democratic Party, which is a part of the corporation, helped to move along the feminist movement, right? That successfully moved all the Israelite men out of the home, shifting Israelite women to positions that we were never supposed to have. The My Body, My Choice, pro-choice movement by the Democratic Party and the corporation gave women the right to murder while simultaneously locking up the men for not paying child support. The corporation gave us the schools of theology that have taught idolatry, lies, lawlessness, building generations of lawless idolaters who are too proud to admit that they have learned incorrectly and need to stand before their congregations and tell the truth. But instead, they're herding the congregations into the jab, getting jabbing for corporate funds, and then retiring just to pass down more dysfunction and death to the next generation of pastors who don't know the truth. What else have the lovely Democratic Party given to us? They've caused a dependency upon the government with all of these social programs, removing the man and unity from the family, causing women to become overconfident in absolutely nothing, passing down affordable housing program stipends like it's an inheritance to be proud of to their children. They are becoming totally dependent on a system that will be yanked right from up under their feet, and they have no idea that it's coming. They have done nothing but a bait and switch by pointing a finger at the Republicans, quote-unquote, racist views, by hiding the remaining three fingers that are pointing back at them, veiling the racism that has successfully led many of us into total self-destruction. So that's what they've done.
Hey. Hey, I'm going to do this real quick.
And Elder, I would like to add something to that as well.
Thank
if you don't mind.
Oh, that's fine. Let me place you on hold. I mean, hey, don't tell me our sisters, hey, our people are waking up. I tell you, Deidre, let me tell you, what a great, I mean, you were straight to the point, didn't parse words, got straight to it. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Others out there can recognize that they've done absolutely nothing, you know. Also, keep in mind, poverty is a business that the Democrat Party has actually thrived off of, okay? It's not in their interest to have our people overcome oppression. Thank you, Deidre. I'm going to place you on hold. I'll go ahead, Elder Gabar. You had something to say?
Another thing I want to add as well is that it was the Democratic Party idea to bring forth the ideology that if you get these affordable housing, you cannot have a man in the home. That was actually a thinking tank of the Democratic Party. And the way they spent it back in the day was that we are here to help women. So for you to get qualification to get these, you know, food stamps and these affordable housing, you must be a single woman that is taking care of your child by yourself. That's the qualifications. Mm. So the way they spend it is like they're doing good, but then if you had a poor back family, they had a man in the household that needed those affordable housing, they don't qualify. So they use words like qualifications or you know, and things of that nature, or we want to target single mothers. They sweeten it and give, you know, these type of words, these type of titles to make it seem as a good thing. But when you look back and say, wait a minute, this is actually genocide and removing the father off the house. You should pass laws to initiate, to reward fathers that want to stay in the house, not demonize them. I want to hear what that is.
Hey, man, let me tell you, there was a report. I think I have it here. It was called the Monahan Report. And it's crazy that I think I have it up here somewhere. Where in this report, Elder Gabbar, it was during the time right after the Civil Rights Movement. No, it was in the 60s. It's called the Monahan Report. Where usually welfare was a thing that was across the board for all races of people. Now, if white people are the majority, of course, there will be more of them on the rolls of welfare. Welfare wasn't a thing that was more so pointed towards poor blacks. It was just a Social Security type of thing in between jobs to subsidize until you get on your feet. It was never meant for a generation of people to be on welfare, right? It was this Monahan report, where they did this report in 1965, around mid-60s, where in this report, Elder Gabbar, to your point, they recognized that when white people, white men, when white women would get on welfare, they would go right off of welfare once their men got jobs. So they was looking at this data. It's social engineering data on how to, you know, distribute money in certain places, whatever the case is going to be. They noticed when white women was on welfare, if their men got a job or their husband got a job, well, they fell on hard times, but now they don't need it. But something different happened in our community. In this report in our community, Elder Gabbar, they noticed that when we lost our jobs, the men, the women was on welfare because the men lost the job, had a man in the house, husbands. But then after the man would get the job, they noticed that our welfare rolls begin to increase for the women. Even once employment increased, welfare was still increasing. So to them, this was a phenomenon. Because the white people, the white women would get off of it, but they noticed black women was like, well, no, this is free money. We're going to continue to do it. So they was like, well, hold up. Maybe we can use this as a social construct. Because this is the way we can bottom them out or cap them out so that there'll be no generational wealth if they're willing to just get this amount of money and stay comfortable without getting any more than that. So it kept, so they say, well, this is what we're going to do with this report. If they want to be on welfare without a man, eventually they put that in the construct not to have a man in the house if they're going to get it. So it was that Monahan report that gave them the understanding of, we'll keep a glass ceiling right up over them where there will be no generational wealth. Why? Because they don't desire the wealth. They just desire to be socially taken care of. Now, it's one thing about not having welfare. Welfare was supposed to be a temporal subsidy until your husband gets a job. Well, if you have your own business or job, there is no ceiling. If you work from the bottom up and increase your earnings together from having nothing, there's a certain spirit, Elder Gabbar, that kicks in of security, protection, and room to grow a legacy financially for your children. So sometimes having nothing at all at the bottom is the best place. Because when you build without help and fall again, You'll always know how to reinvent yourself and build again.
Mm-hmm.
But not if you're socially programmed to believe that money is supposed to come free.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, it wasn't as if the government plotted this all at once. They looked at data. And through that data, they built a construct.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because what happened was the men was working, but the women wanted to keep the money too. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, oh, I'm getting both of these, more money.
Yeah.
But really, it did what? It put a demonic spirit of stagnation within the community. When you get money that you're not working for, it makes you stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It actually stunts that spirit of ingenuity, of invention, of being able to create, entrepreneur, the things that made us great coming out of slavery. It was taken through social program. Right? Mm-hmm. So this is what they did at Elder Gabbar, and I'm gonna let you go, right? Is how they did it. So once they seen the Monahan report, they was like, whoa, okay. Okay, so they want the man and the money too.
Mm-hmm.
Surely if we tell them they can't have a man, if they can't have a man there, surely they'll leave welfare and choose the man.
Absolutely, but Elder, let me, it's worse than that.
Yeah.
The man never really left the house.
Never.
The only thing was that his name cannot be in the lease.
Exactly.
So the men were there. We never left the house.
My father was there. But the whole thing is now, it was now socially criminalized in the household.
Yeah, but more importantly, everything was under the woman's name. So psychologically,
yeah,
the woman, this is my house. Get out. You know, everything was under her name because nothing could be under his name because if they find out he lives there, right? Legally, he can't put anything in his name. Everything has to be somewhere else. Psychologically, there was a generation of things that everything was, they were training the women.
Yeah,
and to be in charge and creating a matriarchal cultural thing without they even knowing.
Yeah. Now, it's not just a woman, a man thing, because why? It was both at fault.
Mm-hmm.
They noticed the roles of our women going up. Right? And mm-hmm. they noticed, you know, but guess what? It was the men there who knew that who was working and knew the welfare and all that was coming in,
mm-hmm.
who knew the stuff was, who knew the things were in her name.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But because it seemed like, you know, the thing to do and free money and everyone else is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We became stagnant and allowed it to continue as men.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Hence the reason why, and I don't knock anyone else for it because I understand sometimes it's needed, especially after all we built. I mean, getting a little bit of something, I'll never, you know, cast aspersions on a person for trying to get something out of the system to help their families.
Right.
But this is why me personally, even though I went through some hard times, I could never choose to go down and get food stamps or go get some or go get welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, I'm gonna tell you, many days I was very close to,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not gonna. That's why I'm not gonna cast aspersions because there's many days I had that book of food stamps. My mother, I used to put a rubber band around my book of food stamps. So I'm not gonna be ashamed about that at all. I thought it was money growing up. So, mm-hmm. but what I'm saying is the reason why I made a conscious choice as an adult not to do it. Is because I needed to know how to be able to operate and survive if there's no help at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
yeah.
I want to be able to build from scratch, to know what it is to be able to scrape from the bottom and at the end of it, see success. And that's why I'm like, well, listen, if I have to scale down my meals, I will get oodles and noodles and dress that up and do whatever I have to do with it. And I'll budget myself until I was able to incrementally build finances. But I didn't mm-hmm. want to do that because I didn't want to be the one. And I'm going to tell you this, Elder Gabbar. It wasn't a shame. I'm a shame factor either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ashamed that my mother and parents was on it because, hey, that fed us. And if I would have done it, I wouldn't have been ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
The whole mm-hmm. point about it is when I thought about it, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make do with what I have and incrementally build. And you know what? It would create, and it does create, some level of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, hey, it was one time we didn't have welfare. So I'm like, you know what? Let's try to incrementally work this thing from the bottom and be able to scale yourself until you're out of a hole. And then mm-hmm. you can appreciate looking back there and saying, you know what? At this point, I could have done this. I could have done that. But you know what? I stood with the Most High. I ate what I could at that time like my forefathers did. And you know what? I dug out of that hole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that goes a long way. That builds a lot of a lot of self-pride and know-how.
Yeah.
It builds know-how also. Right?
And you know what? Another thing they used to do, because I remember when I was, you know, when I was a kid, you know, we lived well until my father passed, right? And he died when I was 13.
Yeah.
And after that, my father, he had a bodega, he had a cab company, and he had two churches, one in the Dominican Republic and one here.
Mm.
But after he passed, you know, his partner took everything, so my mother had to go into welfare. And I remember even as a teenager, my first job was working at McDonald's, right? I was like maybe 16. I could remember. I was excited. I got my working papers, right? And even that, they began to even affect after I began, you know, working at security and because I always really like, I was always a blue-collar worker, always
yeah.
working, even, you know, packing bags. I was working for the super, mopping the building. He used to give me some money. I always had a way to make money. You know,
yeah.
School was not my thing, but money was my situation. But even as a teenager, and even like, you know, I think I left my house when I was like maybe 20, 21. But I was working since like 17, that it even affected my mother's situation, because even when you have a kid that, you know, you get, you know, summer job and things of that nature, it was always a thing, oh, I got to report that and it's going to affect the rent. So Carlos, make sure, you know, it's always, it makes you almost feel like as a man in that system, as like, I got to find an illegitimate way to make a living because it's going to affect the situation with my mom.
Yeah.
So I remember that I had to, you know, leave out of my mom because I didn't want to affect her, you know, her rent, you know, and things of that nature. So it does a lot of psychological thing as a man that you cannot exist. You know, you got to be off the grid, so to
yeah.
speak, because, you know, and so forth, so on. So that always, you know, that always was a thing with me that all my friends, I remember, it's always like you got to find a way to beat the system because every dollar that used to come into the house, legit, you know, you put your social security number, it comes up, and then they change the rent, and it becomes a thing. And so I think it was all planned
yeah.
to not have the man grow and develop as a man in the household. All
yeah.
the benefits was going towards to the mom or the women, the single mom and things of that nature. And I knew very on that I didn't want to be under that system early on because I saw that it was almost anti-man, you know, the
yeah.
way I saw it. So yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's how they set up the system, Elder Gabbar. And this is why I was discussing with you earlier about the man classes. the man classes we're having, the brother classes
mm-hmm.
that we'll be having, hold on, get it here, starting soon, right? The first class we're going to have with the brethren, that means all of the elders, they pick a certain number of men initially before we expand it. And the first class we're going to have is amongst the men in the church, the leaders, or the leaders y'all choose right up under you all. An intentional man will be the first class, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be titled an intentional man. Now, what is an intentional man? He's in order with the Most High. He plans his purpose, his life, and the children raised by a loving wife. An intentional man, he's in order with the Most High. And everything is intentional. Okay? He's in order with the Most High. He plans purpose, life, and listen to this, children raised by a loving wife. So he's not just looking at a woman for a wife.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking at legacy and children first so that he'll know the wife to choose to raise them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
An intentional man will be the first class that we'll have. It's 1 hour. We're going to do 1 hour every other week. For the chosen men. Also, second week, we're going to be going into an intentional woman that plans security, who plans security from a man. Her whole life is to plan security from a specific type of man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's going to be the second week because, and eventually we're going to expand this. The first going to be the intentional man. The second week going to be intentional woman. I'm putting the whole thing together now, but all of that.
Outstanding.
Yeah. But in going into that Elder Gabar, we're going to have what with all of our churches, we're going to have those men and sisters within the church put down the gifts and what they would like to contribute to the ministry. What is their portion? What would they would like? What is their portion for the ministry? What do you want to do up in here?
Mm-hmm.
And based on those gifts, we're going to distribute. We're going to start setting up people who have certain trades so that we can show brothers and sisters how to self-sustain without the corporate structure. But mm-hmm. first start with our outlook on family and what that is, according to the Most High's word. Okay? It's going to be life changing. It's going to be life changing. Whether we have truck drivers, whether we have people don't know. Hey, you can get a truck, a tractor, and something to hold your tractor on the back of your truck, and you have a business.
Mm-hmm.
You have a business that can bring in six figures with the regular Ford F-150 or a Chevy and something, a tractor in the back with a big mower in the back. You have a business that can bring forth six figures.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a truck and you can set up food on it and do certain things to get licenses and all that. So we want home economics. We want wood trade, carpentry, electrician. Everything. Mm-hmm. What we're going to show brothers and sisters eventually, but we have to get our house together first,
mm-hmm.
is these classes we're going to have every other week for 1 hour. And we're going to first start with our offices. 1 hour, that's it. 1 hour mm-hmm. maximum. I'm going to put together the hour lesson. Sometimes I'll go over it or I'll send it to you and you go over it. 1 hour, that's it. If you're not there, you will not get it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll record it, and after we finish after we finish a year or something, I'll put it in a package, and I'll find out what to do with it. And
amen.
But Elder Gabar, an intentional man, will be the first class. It's going to be good. All right.
Amen. Yeah. At the end of the year, I'm actually getting a CDL license. I'm going to give me a truck.
Okay.
Having, you know, so we'll talk because I've got some ideas. It's time to step it up, and we need entrepreneurs in this church. We need millionaires in this church and business brothers.
Yeah.
And yeah, listen, man, the curses are over.
Yeah.
You know, let's build Israel. So absolutely.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that defeated attitude is I can't do anything because I'm under the curse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? The curse was the fact that you didn't know you were Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Now you know that you're Israel. There's no excuse.
There you go. That's it.
Unless you would like to live the curse.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Elder Gabar. Straight good points. All right. Let me go down the line. And again, this is what we're doing just to build the men initially, Elder Gabar, right? It's just 1 hour. Here's some information that you didn't get, that we didn't get growing up, straight from the scripture. 1 hour. This is what a man is, according to the Most High. A man is not, you're not completed as a man because you got a woman.
Hmm. Bring it out.
That's the backward thinking. There was no woman when the Most High had Adam name everything we see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, in the academy, I'm going into the schism between the man and the woman. That's going to be in this academy, the schism. Like a demon was placed in the earth based on that sin, and I'm going to talk about that in the academy. But outside of that, there are specific directives that will have us have it, man and woman, to suppress that demon, to destroy that demon that put a chasm between man and woman. An intentional man will be the one, the first one. First and foremost, he's in order with the Most High. Don't forget, there was no woman when man was made. Man was in order with the Most High. He plans his purpose. Don't forget, the Most High said, eventually, after, you know, be fruitful and multiply and all that, it's talking about the prodigy, the future, not just you, Adam and Eve. He plans his purpose in life. And he planned his children, raised by a loving wife. So he think of his children first, what he would want his children to be. And then he find the woman who can execute that. That's going to be the first one. All right, let's go. Next. I'm going to drill these. So please, brothers and sisters, bear with us. I'm going to just put 10 more minutes in. 843 area code. Shalom.
Shalom.
You're live. I didn't see whether or not you had a question or comment.
Comment?
No, I didn't know whether or not you were just here to listen or whether or not you had a question or comment.
Well, my comment is I want to first of all thank Ahia for what y'all doing in GOCC and all over, man. I'm in the academy. It was two words that caught me. Handpick and script. So what the Democrats have done for us. Well, just like Elder Gabar said, yeah, they, you know, formatted, you know, with us having to, you know, this program and this system, which we shouldn't be a part of, you know. This system is just something that we just need to get out of because it's not
okay,
for
now,
us.
Okay, now, when you say the system, we don't need to be a part of the system. What do you mean in specific? Because we have to live here. So what we have to live in the earth. So in specific, when you say not a part of the system, what are you saying?
Well, the United States system.
Like, give me some examples of what you're talking
because
about. How can you not be a part of the United States? Listen to my question. How can you not be a part of the United States system? What are you talking about? Like, give me an example of not being a part of that system.
Well, I was just deep in thought one day, but I forgot I lost my thought of training, so give me a moment. Let me see if I can into it, the part of the system. Well, just like our females, they're on housing and stuff, and, you know, our Israelite men going to prison. And
okay,
look how the drugs, look, how the,
okay.
Look how the Democrats brought into his brother. Okay, I'm sorry.
Stick with me real quick. Let's deal with one point, because I think let's deal with the women, public housing real quick, right?
Right.
How could you as a man prevent that?
How can I as a man prevent that? And that's by
how can you prevent a woman or your woman, your wife, or your wife-to-be from living in public housing?
I have to be in the home with her.
No, you have to get her a house.
Right.
Right?
You're right. You're exactly right.
Yeah, so it's one thing to say we can't be of the system and we need to, but our sisters shouldn't be homeless. Our people shouldn't be homeless. It's time to, it's really time for forward thinking.
Yes.
And not general thinking about, yeah, we got to do something about this without actually doing anything.
Right.
There you go. Thank you, my brother.
All righty.
My brother. I hope he's in one of the local areas. He will really be able to, hey, it's going to be some good classes. 229 area code. 229 area
Hello?
Code. Samuel, how are
Hello?
You?
Hello. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. You have a question.
I have a question that in regard to comment that leads to a question.
Okay.
So I have a friend who worked for the FDA. And she told me that they use, to make the jab, they use the sperm from the sperm bank, and they use the...
Hold up, though. Because you're casting some stuff that could be deemed misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is what we want to do to preserve this channel today. Because you notice... What I did was I allowed Mr. Aaron Rodgers to tell people why he's personally not getting some stuff based on his personal research, and that's what's allowed here. What's not allowed here, even though you might be right, for you to bring forth the ingredients without any proof what's in it based on what someone told you.
Okay, I can get the proof. No problem.
Okay. Well, when you get the proof, share it with me, and I'll let you just go forth. If it's coming out the CDC or someplace else, I'll pull it up, and you can read it, and you can roll out the ingredients.
Okay.
What
do
else you
have?
Got?
The email.
Oh yeah, you can email us at gatheringis1@aol.com.
Okay. All right. My question is.
And personally, I know you want to go into what's in it. To me, I could care less what the ingredients are in it. Because all of that is against my religion.
Yes, sir.
So they can put whatever they want in. As far as my temple, this temple belongs to the Most High, and what they're talking about isn't, you know, there's no law in the Bible that says get any of that. So, I mean, hey. I mean, don't matter to me. Okay, it could be gorilla hair in it. I could care less. But it's not for me. But go on.
So regarding, like, because I'm pretty sure they're going to try to force us to take it. So regarding to that, what do we do at that certain point?
Okay, what do you mean they're going to force us to take it? We get that.
Like,
when have they ever forced someone to take something?
I have seen videos regarding that. I've seen videos regarding that.
Okay, here in the United States?
Yes.
Okay, what is this video where they're forcing someone to take that? Were they
holding
them down?
Yes.
Okay, send that to gatheringas1@aol.com. There's a lot of allegations that I've yet to see yet. mean, as far as I know, and if it is so, send it to gatherers1@aol.com, and we'll talk about it this Friday.
Okay. All right. So anyways, if that were to happen, let's say, what do we do at that certain point?
Okay. If someone came to try to assail you,
mm-hmm.
if someone came to attempt, to attempt to harm you with a lethal weapon.
What does the law say about that?
Hey, man, hey, do me a favor.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing I can do is say, call one of your public officials in your respective areas and say, if someone tried to assail me with a weapon, what must I do? Call your local police station or whatever, and they'll give you some good advice.
But ain't they our enemies as well?
Brother, listen. Let me read this. A moral response. We have a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. So I don't know if what happens. Anyone? I mean, it's called self-defense.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
But even we defend ourselves a lot as well. You know, we call upon the police. They don't do nothing. So how can we trust in the police if they don't do nothing about certain things?
How old are you? Oh, how old are you, young man?
I'm 25.
25. You're pretty young. Let me tell you, brother. It's okay. Okay. There's no one today forcing you to do anything, right?
No. Not right now.
So the most... Exactly. So the Most High says, Christ said, deal with the day because tomorrow got enough evils in itself. Do what's right for yourself today to prepare yourself spiritually. And when it's time, the Most High said, Christ said, take no thought what you shall say. For that very moment, I'll put the words in your heart. So you're trying to think of circumstances that you might not experience when you should be putting more time on the scenarios you can control, right?
Yes, sir.
So what state you live in, Samoa'awa, that's your name in Hebrew, Samoa'awa.
Yes. I
what
live
state?
In
what city?
Florida.
Okay, hey, we're going to be there soon. We're going to be in Florida next month, actually. I got a call for now, let him know the news on that. So I hope to meet you in... Hey brother, get with the church there. You'll be okay.
Con. Thank you.
You're welcome. So long. All right, no caller is 816. And we have Sunshine.
Hello? 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 Hello?
What's happening? What's going on?
Hello, Shalom. Hello.
Come on, young lady. Get to it. Get to it. Come on, get to it.
Okay, elders, okay, it's true that the reasoning of most is lopsided, and this is on purpose, like you were talking about, and woven into the fabric of our entire educational construct to make pacifiers of the young and the strong, and it's grooming and tricking us into this temporary belief that liberalism is good and linked to freedom, and conservatism is outdated and linked to slavery. And just like the sister Deidre and Elder Gabar was saying, that their proof is in that temporary relief that they gave to the women whose backs that they rode on and bamboozled into doing the same or stepping on our black men. And so now, because of that, we can now see people who we saw as learned in our communities and highly educated, renowned, or amongst our communities, not giving clear, rational reasons for why they're making the decisions that are off-kilter, unsound, and the logic or critical thinking skills for most is questionable and daily waning because we are divided, like we were talking about, and conquered, so we're weakened in this medical war. And when we see those few who are in command of the critical skills or have sight in an idiocracy, then the few are punished and persecuted. And like you mentioned, elders, the leader is often driven into the position by the circumstances. And it is in this same vein, as we saw in a milder form with the strong, informed, yet humble stance of Aaron Rodgers and others, that we will see the true leaders emerge from within our communities. And needless to say, these true leaders who love Christ and the Most High will see the persecutions, some of us are already seeing it from the womb. So there is no doubt that the motivations for attacks from the Psalms 83 conspirators are driven continually by their knowledge that we are the leaders, and with the knowledge of Christ, we are unstoppable, so they can see the power in our hands if we are with Christ. And those of us who are on the brink of knowing Christ, they can see that power emerging, and our power we are endowed with as our unalienable right of rulership, not according to the statements written and signed by the deemed fathers of the land of the north, but by the God of all gods, which is our God in heaven, Ahaya. And so who called us as chosen to be the light in darkness? So the lockdowns and mandates and restrictions can only appeal to those who are swayable in this prophetic time, but it has no bearing on those few men in this time, as times of old, who will not bow down ever to Baal. So these are the leaders, and we and the other nations can see daily rising from the forged lies and graves, and as wise as serpents restoring to full strength. And bless the Most High for this fulfillment of his word and his grace to witness this transformation and the trials of men once in perpetual poverty and heavy-handed oppressions to men of Ophir goal and pure hearts full of righteousness by grace of the Most High. And that's all I wanted to say. That's all I wanted to say, elders. Praise the Most High. Praise the Most High and bless you. Bless you.
Bless you.
Yes.
All right.
Bless you. Praise the Most High. Bless you, elders. Aww. Oh, praise the Most High for this. Aww. Bless the Most High.
Hey, folks, she write all that stuff down, too. Hey, she's sharp. All right, all right, all right. We are bearing down. Aaron is on the line. Aaron is on the line. I guess I'll handle that Travis Scott thing this coming Friday. Aaron, how you doing, Aaron?
Hey, Shalom, Elder. All praises to the Most High. Brother Aaron here from the Vegas Body.
Yeah,
how are you? I'm doing all right. I had a comment, but I did want to answer the question about the Democratic Party.
Yeah, what have they done for us?
So I think the one sister that called a little while ago, like, she broke it all the way down. She kind of answered it for me. But there's one thing that I've noticed that they do that get us all riled up, and like a false sense of hope and a false sense of really believing that they're going to come in and look out for us and help us, is the Democratic Party. They know how to go on our platforms, and they go on our platforms, and because they do that, that just automatically, like, they are for us. They even have rappers that come out and perform at, like, their speeches and stuff like that. So because they do that, our people, for some reason, are like, oh, yeah, they are for us. But they just know how to play us, you know. And it's sad that a lot of our people don't realize that. But I do think they're starting to see it now because of this campaign that's going on, and they're starting to see other people being taken care of, I think our people are starting to realize it, though. Slowly but surely, they're starting to realize it.
Yeah, well, brother, I think they're starting to realize it. I have to make sure I'm getting some stuff together here for Friday. We have to make – listen, I think our people are starting to realize it, but I really believe that – and it's clear it's too late.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
We're living in what I can clearly see is the final solution.
Yeah.
I mean, brothers, I mean, even with Gabbar stating that it's 58% of the population who have complied to this campaign, we don't even understand the ill effects of what we have actually allowed to happen within the last 2 years. We won't see the ill effects of what this has done until after 2023.
Yeah. And that's unfortunate, but it's
the reality is this place is going to look, the whole world is going to look a lot different.
Yeah.
Even if we have 58% of the people, and now they're targeting the children too. So I believe we're living in the final solution where they don't care if we agree with them anymore, or whether or not we support them.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Okay.
Yeah, the blueprint has been laid out a long time ago on us, and so now,
So instead of reparations, the money was put in full stop for depopulation.
Yeah.
And I'll be talking about that and more, especially, are you in the academy? Because I'll be going into that during the news program.
No, not this. And it's not still too late to sign up, right?
Hey, listen, it's not too late to sign up. It's on you. It's good. But I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You, brother, I'm going to tell you, everybody, hey, if you're not in, you are missing out. I'm going to tell you that right now. But
I know.
It's not too late. Oh, they go Gaja in the house. I got to bring Gaja in.
Yes.
One more, then I'm bringing Gaja in.
Okay. Hey, Elder.
Yes.
Hello? Oh, okay.
I'm here. Come on, one more again.
All right, one more, man. I wanted to, the whole Aaron Rodgers thing. Also, like, I wonder if, I know if I was an athlete, a black athlete, and allegedly if the NFL knew that he didn't go through the procedure.
No, let me make it clear. They knew that he wasn't jabbed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you don't have to say allegedly there. He said that everyone knew. Aaron Rodgers said everyone knew.
Okay, I was just taking a
picture. He said even the reporters.
So, yeah, if they knew, if I'm a black athlete, now I'm questioning, like, wait a minute. And this goes to all sports platforms. Like, okay, if the powers that be knew in the NFL and they still allow him to play, then what's the difference with me? That's what I would be asking myself. And I would, and I pray that somebody do come forward and make that statement.
Yeah.
You know,
brother, that's a great point. And here's a question, bringing it around full circle. If Martin Luther King was living right now, based on how he galvanized the base being the black community in the United States, if he was living right now during this campaign and they try to push this on athletes, what do you think would have happened with Martin Luther King?
Man, he would have spoke up for those players exercising their right. He would have spoke up for them because I do believe before his assassination, and a lot of people don't like to talk about it, especially the older generation. They don't like to talk about it, but he realized what he did. And I think if he was still living today, I think he would be speaking up for those people that want to exercise their rights, you know?
Brother, it would have been more than speaking up because he spoke up back then. It's the results of him speaking up. You know what would have happened? He'd have been like, listen, you know the generational wealth that our people in the NBA and NFL has accumulated is what everything that we were marching for.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing is, if the owners are putting laws in place that are really segregating the people, when we're supposed to be living in desegregation, how about all of you, the football players and the basketball players, who feel that this is unjust, stop playing.
Man, that's...
Listen, stop playing, and on top of that, put your wealth together where if you want to bounce a basketball or throw a football, it'd be in your own arenas.
Man.
You got enough money. There's no excuse. And it's not about the endorsements, because they cannot sell their product without top athletes.
Exactly.
Create your own companies and endorse yourselves. That's what would have happened.
Yeah.
What would have happened was it'd be like, listen, I don't know about that cat y'all have over the NBA association in the union that y'all call a union.
Chris Paul.
Or the
Chris
NFL.
Paul.
But I'll tell you what, who cares about any of them? The whole thing is, without the athletes, there is nothing, especially without our people in the games. So the whole thing, it would have been like, all the money y'all got, y'all sitting there silent, knowing that this is unjust, and really what they're doing in a nutshell, this is medical segregation. So if y'all want the Negro Leagues back, y'all got enough money to do it.
Exactly. I have the 3-on-3 right now.
Exactly. That's what he would have said. Because don't forget, when Martin Luther King did this, athletes weren't making the money, generational wealth. They were worth half a billion dollars, $1 billion.
Yeah.
They weren't worth that, but they stood for something. Here it is. They're sitting up with all this money, with all this power in silence. To show you, how little money really means. Power is everything. Martin Luther King and our families from the South and all that didn't have money, but we had unity. We had power. And that's power that transcends money. Go ahead. I need to get Gabar in, brother. Let me put you on the line. I mean, I got to get Elder. I got to get Gaj in. So if you can hold, brother, I got to get the next call. All right.
All right.
Thank you. Shalom. Gaja, talk to me, young man.
Hello, brother. How you doing?
I'm blessed by the best. Let me see you, man. Let me see. Put that video on.
One second. Let me get through here some lights. One second. Give me 1 minute.
Man, you sitting there in the dark. You want to come in, man? What's going on here?
I was half asleep listening, and I just woke up then and say, oh no, man. Let me chime in. You with me? This is too deep for me not to come and say something, you know?
Okay, well, come on. Well, you got a voice. You don't need the video. Talk to us.
Yeah, man. I mean, a couple of things been said, although, man, that's real. Even just what you just said just then, you know, I have been having this conversation of lately. Listen, segregation was a good thing. It was a really good thing. And then when you look at it now, when you see what happening right now, we're going to have to go back to that anyways, because they're looking to, like I said, medical segregation. They're looking to get one against the other. You understand? And for those of us who are not going down that road, who are speaking up, who are not dealing with that, yo, listen, we're going to have to be growing our own food, living, drinking our own water from our own rivers, you with me, and raising our families. That's where it's at.
Yeah.
You said we're not going to see the effects of this thing till 2023. I believe it's going to be a lot sooner than that. Because check this out. I'm getting messages right now from people who have gone that way and have ended up and are not here anymore.
Mm.
And people know that's why they're not here anymore. You understand? People were warned not to go, and they went, and they're not here anymore. And I'm seeing,
yeah,
I'm seeing that
stories like that too. I'm hearing it too.
I'm seeing real time right now. Right now, I believe though. I believe it's going to be a lot quicker than that, where people are going to see that, you know, something. Hey, and yes, the government don't care anymore. They don't care. They never cared. They don't care about these people. You understand me? You see these little puppets sold out, sold the people them down the river. I remember in the last year when this whole foolishness started, one of the leaders them came out and said, yo, we have sinned against the people. And I was asking the question, what did you do? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, man, we can forgive you if you sinned, of course, but what the hell did you do? And now we're seeing what you did. You sold the people them down. You sold them down the river. You with me? No care, no compassion, nothing at all. You sold them out. You with me? And that's why all of this agenda coming right now for the people, them, they don't even realize it. They don't even realize it that the money that they have is drying up. They don't realize that the supermarket shelves are going empty. By the time people really realize what has happened, yeah, man, it's too late. It's like I said, this is the final solution, total destruction. And that's what it is. And it brings me back to the book of Matthew 24. Matthew 24:21, when Christ says, listen, unless the Most High shorten time, no flesh is going to be saved.
Mm.
That is the reality. And I'm seeing it. You're looking at it right now. People, look at it right now. Unless the Most High shorten time, divine intervention, nobody going to escape this thing. Because the entire
I'm gonna let you finish, man. I'm gonna let you have the last word, but I have to say something because I'll pick it up Friday and in the academy. But this thing that happened with Travis Scott, you heard about the stampede in Houston, at the Rays, with the Rays they was having or whatever that is with the concert.
I saw the video with it. Yeah.
Man, let me tell you, there's more to it than that, man. Listen, man, all at once, Gaja. Why, the reason for the stampede is what the media is glossing on. You had kids looking around and all at once, like someone flipped a switch. And all over the crowd at once, like someone's flipped a switch. And people fell to the ground, cardiac arrest, as if somebody flip the switch at once.
Wow.
That's what led to the stampede. Just imagine you sitting there and every part of the crowd, people had just dropped it. Now, my question to this is how many of them had the stuff in them? And was this a beta test to have all of these people there together to see how great this was? That's all I can say right now, but Friday, we're going to be dropping it, man. I'm going into it on Patreon.
I'm going to be there, man. I'm going to be there with you.
Let me tell you, Gaja, elders, I'm telling you. Because a lot of these concerts, you have to show proof before you go in and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And people are looking at the stampedes actually, allegedly, I don't know, but people say it simultaneously was like something from hell. One dude witnessed it, got out early. Even before all this stuff happened and people was falling, cardiac arrest all over the place. And
really, you remember that movie?
Man, I've been sent footage, all types of stuff. Like somebody flipped a switch. And who knows? Maybe it's the nanotechnology. Maybe who knows? I don't know. But I can only talk about it on Patreon. Sorry.
You remember that movie that came out a few years ago called Kingsman?
Yeah.
Same sort of scenario. Everybody had the chip. They sent a frequency out, and then, it was craziness.
Man.
You with me? So,
Gaja, I wouldn't be surprised. That's all I can say.
Yeah, me either, man. Me either. Like I said, I believe that, we're going to see a lot of things. Listen, by 2023, there will be a definitive line in the sand drawn, and people will know where they're standing.
Yeah.
Definitive line. By that time, definitive. You listen. Either you're over there, or you're over this side. No two ways about it. That's what I believe. I'm looking at it right now, and I'm saying I'm getting phone calls. I'm getting, and it's not people far out. It's people I know personally. People that, you know, a friend of a friend that I know of that friend. Yeah, man. He was here last week. He's no longer here anymore. You understand me? I'm telling you, Ella, man. It, you know. And I don't want nobody to think that I'm fear-mongering or anything. It's just what it is. You with me? It's a glorious time right now that we're living in, looking at it and seeing it real time. You understand? You can't script it. You can't make it up. You with me? It's just happening. It's going on. So when I'm listening here, like I said, I was listening in, and when you said a couple of things, I said, no, man, I need to come in and just you know, say what I need to say. Because it's happening, Elder. It's happening right around. It's not like it's happening in isolation where it's just over that side. You with me? It's happening. The devil deceived the entire world. Revelation 12 and 9. The entire world under this deception. You with me? So that's it, man. That's all I have to suffer now.
Hey, man. Listen, man. Brothers. Just all of you, man. I'm just so glad that the Most High have gathered us together, man. And for this time, we were born for this moment. And the Most High has a purpose with all of us, with this church, with a lot of you out there. He has a purpose. And you know what I was thinking about the other day? In appreciation for the gift of understanding, we could have been easily the people out there, elders and brothers and all you family out there. We could have easily been the ones who's totally ignorant to what's going on right now. For some reason, the Most High chose us to see. And this is why Christ said, blessed are your eyes that you see and your ears that you hear. It's a blessing. We could have easily been on the other side, totally ignorant, following the cares of this world. But yet the Most High chose us. And I believe the same spirit that woke us up, who directed us toward this truth to lead in this last days. And we didn't ask to do so. Okay? Gabar, no telling what you was doing when you reached out. Elder Lawyer was going to a drugstore and something hit him and he stopped and listened. God was dealing with all types of weirdness going on with the black conscious community on a radio show that he wasn't even supposed to be there, not believing in anything. Witchcraft and all types of crap Gaja was dealing with before the truth came. Before some little skinny old black guy from Philadelphia knocked on the door and say, yeah, turn on that mic. He said, what you doing there, man? What you doing there? We didn't brief or nothing. What are you doing here? I'm like, man, just turn on the mic, man. Well, I don't got no time to be sitting there dealing with this stuff. But the world is coming to an end. And you know what? The Most High called us into this spiritual war to awaken the people. And just all you brothers, the families, the extended families that are part of this truth, understand that we were born for this moment. And the same spirit that have awakened us, that's sheltering our families, that are hedging our families, will guide us all the way to the wilderness. Knowing is half the battle. And folks, and I broke this down in the academy, we are not alone. If the Most High gave us the power right now to see into the spiritual world, we will witness thousands upon thousands of angels protecting the righteous within the earth. It tells you even in the book of Enoch, when the righteous receive the truth and walk on the path, we, as the children of light, become the light in this earth, where the Most High looks down and he sees nothing but light moving in the earth. And the angels must protect that light. And I'm just saying this with all the elders and all the brothers and sisters who've been a part of this work, that we will think about what we're talking about and being able to break everything down from a biblical perspective. It takes the Spirit of the Most High to open the eyes of the dead, the body of the dry bones. So here we are. elders. And I'll tell you this, eerie a little bit, living through what the Most High showed us in the early, like a little after the year 2000. I'm on the corner 2007, 2008, 2009. It's one thing talking about it and the world is going on as normal, as if nothing is going to happen. It's another thing now living and reflecting back to what was said. A whole nother dynamic. And guess what, brothers and sisters? We know this is the truth. We are the children of God. And we will one day be in the wilderness with the Most High protected like fire round about us. It will happen. But not before the fall of the fall of Babylon. Don't forget, a lot of people are looking for Babylon elders to just to disappear altogether. No. It's falling incrementally. Babylon the Great is falling. It's falling. You're looking for it to happen like this. No. They're incrementally pulling the plug. The war will be the last shoe to drop. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you right now. I said it last week. I said it the week beforehand. The Most High gave Joseph in Egypt 7 years of plenteous, then 7 years of famine. And those who didn't prepare during the plenteous was at the behest of the power structure. We're in our time of plenteous. If you're going to get something and turn it into something tangible, it's time to prepare now. It's time to prepare now. The government structures, the power structure have called out their dogs, and guess what? They're not rescinding their calling. Like Gabar, like Gaza, like all of us said earlier, I'm going to tell you right now, folks, the time we're in their final solution. They've actually pushed the self-destruct button. Okay, that's where they are right now. This is self-destruct now. They don't self-destruct. So like the elders are saying, it's time to come all the way over. All the way over on the right side of the Most High and be protected by the angels. Because why? They are amongst us. They're here. You just can't see it. It was that spirit that tapped you and says, go this way. Or listen to this. One day you open up your computer and you seen some guys standing there. Guess what, folks? You wasn't alone. You were guided by his spirit to hear what you're hearing. And when it all is said and done, when it's time, the invisible will come into view and we'll realize that we as people here on earth were never alone. Elder Gabar, you got anything to say? Any of you elders before we break out?
You know, there was an old saying that it was usually utilized to promote racism. I forgot the elected official's name. He was one of, you know, Ku Klux Klan leaders. Segregation today, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. When it comes to this jab, segregation from now, segregation, you know, tomorrow, segregation forever. We will never take the jab. Get used to it. We're clear of any disease because we're the Most High temple and the world that are, you know, want to drink the Kool-Aid. You can drink all the Kool-Aid, but leave us, men and women, that want to follow the Most High alone.
You know,
you want to be separate? Yeah, we want to be separate from you too. So we both agree. So this is a challenge I put for everybody that is afraid of people that are not afraid to follow the Most High and not poison their bodies. It's like, you know, you take your part of the land, And we take our power line. Leave us alone. We'll leave you alone. And you leave us alone, and we'll see 10 years from now, you know, who's still living. Now to you with that.
Elder Gabbar, before we go, the challenge of not becoming angry for a week, how's it going?
It's pretty good. I learned a lot about myself. I think I want to touch on the show tomorrow on that. You know, the first few days, it was like a utopian thing. And then the first week was good. Then the second week, going into the second week, then it became more of a challenge of a remembering. You know, in the beginning it was fun. Now you got to like, okay, the honeymoon was over. Now you have to take the challenge. So I'm going to try to keep going and see how far I could go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to kind of keep a journal to see, you know, I think it's going to be an interesting conversation tomorrow. So I hope people join us.
Yeah, I may chime in. Let me say this. You notice when you put benchmarks or a vow in front of something, how it becomes, you more so have the propensity to execute.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You say, listen, I'm not going to be angry for a week. You spoke it, you made it so, and it did what? It created a discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Automatically, you had something, you had a benchmark, you had something to fulfill in that week, accomplished it.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that, guess what, Elder, that applies to anything. That's what success is.
Mm-hmm.
You make a benchmark, you make a vow, and you fulfill the intentions of that vow. You just fulfill every part of it. Until what? Until that time is up. That's success. That's a discipline. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Gabbar, I did the same thing. I said I was going to add myself not to get angry in a week, within a week. Because getting angry is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It happened. It happened. And you know, because you don't know how much you get angry until you actually put out a challenge for yourself like that.
Right. You
don't
measure
know,
it.
You don't, yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't know how many times you may fly off the handle or let someone get under your skin unless you challenge yourself like that. Say, I'm not going to get angry.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I was able to do during the week,
mm-hmm.
Elder Gabbar? I was like, you know what? If I would have had that conversation with that challenge with Elder Gabbar, I would have definitely responded differently just now. And that was, you know, I thought about that.
Right, right. It makes you think, like, because now you're thinking about it, you know, absolutely, yep.
There's options outside of flying off the handle.
Mm-hmm.
Anger lies in the bosom of fools.
Mm-hmm.
That's scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, anger lies in the bosom of fools.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know? So I'm excited about tomorrow. I want to hear people's you know, opinions, because a lot of people were excited. It's like, yeah, we're taking the challenge and we want to do it. So I think it's going to be a good exercise. And we just keep it going, see how long it could go. We could take this challenge.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Okay, God, did you have something to say before you had to go? I mean, before we go?
Yes, sir. I mean, check it out. What's deep about this conversation right here is that I haven't spoken to you or Elder Gabbar about it. And I also took that challenge with myself. And today, no kidding, Elder, I promise you, no kidding. Today, I was driving and I was smiling to myself. And I'm like, yo, you know something? That scripture, when Christ says, I think it's in Matthew, the 5th chapter, when he says about being angry with your brother, right?
Yeah.
And it's like there was meaning to it till I was driving, thinking about it, because I told myself I'm not getting angry with nobody for no reason at all. You with me? Elder, you've been around me. You see, sometimes, yo, I can fly off of the handle. You with me? So.
Yeah, go on.
You with me?
Oh,
yo,
listen. I don't know if you can I don't know if you can outdo Elder Gabbar, though. Y'all close.
Yeah, I'm the super heavyweight champion of flying out the handle.
It's Elder Gabbar, he it's like it's like he would run through drywall. Like he'll run through drywall. And then look for another wall to run through. And, but Israel can the children of Israel can do that to you, right? But go ahead,
Gaja. Yeah, man, so I was like, today I was driving and thinking about it, man. I'm like, yo, and then I was like, yeah, man, yo, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I felt freedom today. I felt a level of freedom today. But just not being angry. Some situations came up to me, and I just, you know, I smiled, and I let it go. I let it go. And I felt, yo, I was in the car. I was driving and smiling. And just like what you said, Elder, just exactly what you said. If I can apply this to any aspect in my life, I'll be successful. If I could just say, yo, here, what? Here, dear. I'm going, this is where I'm going here. Nothing going to take me off of the path of going here. You with me? That's exactly what came to my mind. I'm like, yo, if I can do this, right? I can do anything. I can do anything at all. And I must have said that to myself about 50 times, or like hypnotizing myself, like, yo, I can do it.
Yeah.
I took the challenge. I'm saying, I'm not gonna get angry. No matter what happened, not getting angry. Telling you, Elder, yo, listen. Deep, like, you know, because I know, like I said, I know I can fly off of the rails sometimes. You with me? So, yeah. But anyways, man, I'll leave it at that, man.
All right.
Love your elders, all right?
Bless you. Okay, well, elders, it's been a great show. Hakeem, I'm going to call you offline because, yes, we will see you in North Carolina before the Passover. I got you, Hakeem. All right, we'll call you offline. But I'll tell you this. Thank you all for the... Man, we still kept this well. Oh, we kept it. It just fell under 1900. Well, all praise be to the Most High. It's well past the time. A long, long broadcast.